can't believe it myself. Suddenly I'm up on top of the world. It should have been somebody else.
Steven, how
hey,
are you
Mark,
doing?
How you doing?
Good. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
You know, you have done so much in TV, and now you've kind of taken over the publishing biz, too.
Well, I'm really enjoying writing novels. It's been a great joy, and, you know, it's been exciting. This is my ninth one, so I'm you know, cranking them out.
Well, you're not only cranking out novels, but you're also cranking out novels that are going to be made into movies as well.
Yeah, a lot of these are being set up. I have four of them now that are in production or in development.
How come you decide instead of doing it yourself? I know you've created so many series and done so much stuff yourself. Have you ever thought about taking one of your own novels and just doing it yourself?
As a, you mean
your own production?
Well, you know, not really. I mean, you know, what I did when I was had my studio. You know, I would sell these projects to the networks. The networks would give me the money to write the, to manufacture the pilot. Then I would make the pilot. I'd had to carry the deficit. In other words, if they gave me $3 million to make the pilot and it cost me $4 million, I had to come up with the extra million. But I owned the negative. After the network aired the show, the negative was my personal property, and that was what the business was, you know. But I basically had my financing coming from the network and from my pre-sales in Europe. You know, to do a movie, you know, I mean, $100 million project, you know, I don't know that I want to get into my pocket for $100 million.
Yeah.
You know, so you know what, I'm publishing these books, and then if I sell them, you know, to the studios or to a major star, which in one case I've sold two of my books to a major star, you know, then, you know, we develop the screenplays together, you know, get the picture shot, and the studio has the distribution, the network. They also have the money to make the movie and all of that. And I think that's more where I want to do it.
And the companies that purchased the rights to your books are the big ones.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm doing real well with it. You know, I mean, it's but I don't write the novels to get screenwriting gigs. You know, I'm basically writing the novels because I love writing novels, and then, you know, if somebody wants to buy the book and they want me to write the screenplay, I'm available, and, you know, and that's the way it's going.
I mean, everybody who hears the name Stephen J. Cannell knows the Rockford Files, Silk Stockings, the 1821 Jump Street, you know, the on and on and on, the Greatest American Hero, this, the Commission, Wise Guy, and all the great shows that you developed. But I find two really interesting aspects of your life that I want to talk about a little bit. Number one, you married your childhood sweetheart, and you're still married.
That's right.
That's pretty impressive.
Well, she's a pretty good girl. You know, I mean, I you know, she and I fell in love when we were in the eighth grade, and at least I fell in love with her. It took me a while to convince her, you know. But, you know, we've been married for 40 years, and she's my best friend, and I wouldn't have the career I have today in Hollywood if it weren't for her, because she supported me and, you know, and been there, you know, for me, and you know, I've been there for her, and our kids are really great kids. I mean, we had four children. I lost my oldest son when he was 15 and a half in an accident, but we still have three children, and they all turned out great, and, you know, their kids love being around us, and, you know, we've raised them ourselves. We didn't raise them with nannies and stuff like that. We never had any live-in help. We ran our family like anybody else runs their family. Didn't run them as, you know, privileged children. You know, we made them do chores and, you know, do the kinds of things that everybody else does. And the result of it is they're really down-to-earth kids that have good values. And I feel really like my wife has been, you know, a great part of that. You know, as if not the greatest part of it. I mean, I, you know, she was the hands-on, you know, quarterback on day in, day out, and, you know, and I was there hopefully to provide, you know, the right kind of advice and the right role model for my sons. And
how did any of the children that
Well, I have a 34-year-old daughter who is a director.
Ah, there you go.
And she's currently directing NYPD Blues.
Huh.
Doing very well. She's one of their kind of staff directors. They use her all the time, and so she's doing well with that. And that's Steve Bochco's show, as you know.
Right.
And he loves her as a director. He told me the other day, he said, "God, your daughter is one of my best directors." So, that was pretty cool, and but my other children, my son is a freshman in college, my youngest, and my 21-year-old daughter will be a senior at SMU next year.
Either of them writers? Do they have the creative
What? I think my 21-year-old daughter is a really good writer. I think my son might have real writing talent. He also has learning problems like I do, and so school has always been a little difficult for him, but he's at the University of Miami at Ohio and doing really well there. He just finished his freshman year, and, he studied really hard, but he did very well for, he's not an A student, but he certainly came home with almost a B average. And for his first year in college with these learning problems that he has, I was really proud of him. And
well, it's interesting that you mentioned learning problems, because I happen to be an undergraduate at Curry College in Milton, Massachusetts when I was younger, and I had never met anybody that had a learning disability, learning issue at all, and until I started meeting all the people on the campus, many of them had dyslexia. Curry College had a woman named Gertrude Webb who was world-renowned for her work with learning disabilities, and they had one of the top LD programs in the country, and I met a lot of kids who grew up feeling they were stupid and feeling really down on themselves, and discovering through her efforts that they weren't stupid at all. They were pretty smart, but they just their minds jumbled things a little bit differently than other people did.
Well, I flunked three grades before I got out of high school. I made one of them up, but I graduated 2 years behind my original kindergarten class. I had terrible learning problems. The only thing I was good at was football. I was a pretty good running back, and that sort of kept me from losing my self-confidence, because it was a big deal on my campus because of that.
Right.
But I was constantly in trouble academically, and I went to the University of Oregon. I went up there to play football, but lost my ride because of academic problems. And it was just a really hard run, going through high school and college. I graduated from Oregon with a 2.1 GPA, which is like nothing, it's a low GPA. Mm-hmm. But I got the sheepskin, I got out, and it was just something that it was something I had to deal with, but it didn't defeat me. And now, I come to realize that dyslexics are very good with abstract thought, and we have a tendency to work off the right side of our brain, which is the creative side of our brain.
Right.
And that's where I make my living.
I would love to have one of your old English teachers on my show and say, "Hey, you remember that guy Steve had some problems with the English? He's one of the top writers in the country now." There is an ultimate revenge in that all.
There really is, and one of my revenges now is these novels, and obviously Runaway Heart, my new book that's in the bookstores now, is about science, kind of science fact. It's a mystery legal thriller, that is about DARPA, which is the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, which is the agency that basically is involved with creating all the new weaponry for our military. They developed, for instance, the stealth bomber. And I got to thinking, and again, this is abstract thought that dyslexics are very good at, what would DARPA do about the fact that every time we lose one soldier in Iraq, it's a national news story. In Vietnam, we'd lose 100 guys and nobody even heard about it, the American public is not willing to let any of these soldiers die anymore. They don't want to see any children coming home in body bags. And DARPA, trying to solve this problem, decides to create a disposable soldier. They design a soldier from a chimpanzee. They upgrade 9 genes in the chimpanzee, which is, as you may or may not know, is 98.2% of human DNA. And so it's so close to us on a DNH scan that it's frightening. Hmm. And by upgrading 9 genes, they can create an animal that literally will take orders, will operate in a unit, can capture villages, do whatever is required. It has the opposing thumb, so it can operate equipment, fire weapons, all that sort of stuff. And they are creating these animals at a military base out in the desert, training them. And my hero in this novel is an attorney who is filing a lawsuit to protect the monarch butterfly from this genetically altered food that's being manufactured now.
Attorney Herman Stockmeyer is not your usual...
not your usual hero. He's 55. Yeah. He's overweight. He's
rumpled.
He's got a runaway heart, which is where the title comes from. But his runaway heart really is his passion for all of these lost causes that he's after. And he's filing a lawsuit against the federal government, and he has an electronics detective who's trying to download the information on this GMO food and accidentally is hacked into a government computer or a science computer, and he accidentally downloads the gene map for this disposable soldier. And of course, DARPA's not ready for this to be made public yet, and they come after him, and he hires...
His daughter Susan is involved as well.
His beautiful daughter Susan, who sort of protects his flank and keeps people from attacking her dad. And they hire Jack Werda, a private eye in Hollywood, to help them find out who killed their electronic detective. And the chase is on. So that's what Runaway Heart is about. It's a very great book. I think I really had fun reading it. Writing it. And I really enjoyed the process, and I hope you all will too.
St. Martin's Press, just real quick, I know you got to go, but you got a bunch of movies that will be coming out soon. Terror.net is in development, The A-Team, 21 Jump Street. A lot of times, and Great American Hero is also, Disney has that. So are these all going to be coming out in the next couple of years?
Yeah, hopefully in the next year or two we'll have those in the theater. Plus, three of my books are set up as movies.
That is so cool. Hey, Steve, it was nice to talk to you.
Nice talking to you.
Take care.
Okay, bye-bye.